In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. This past week, in the sermon, I talked about the gospel, and specifically a simple way that it could be communicated, and most of what it focused on was what God had done, what God has done for us, what our Lord did and the divine plan for our salvation. This week, I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about what it is that we're asked to do to contribute to our salvation. The feast day today is dedicated to the veneration of the cross. And maybe before I talk about what we can do, we can talk about what our Lord did on the cross. Not just simply what he did, but even how he got there. So if we've read the Gospels, we'll remember that Jesus came to his people, that he taught, that he preached, that he discipled people. You'll remember in his life that he healed many people of physical ailments. He forgave sins. There were people who were oppressed by demons that he released, that he put away the devil from them, so to speak. You remember that even at one time, Jesus rose, was able to raise a few people from the dead, Lazarus and Jairus' daughter. And while all these miracles were happening, Jesus was with the people. We forgot he fed people, both physically, the 5,000 loaves, with all the bread and with all the fish. And then secondarily, he fed them spiritually by speaking into their souls the words of life. But by the end of his ministry, the rulers, because of envy, his people, wanted to crucify him. They wanted to kill him. And so, although he was completely innocent, he had no sin, and although occasionally he was provocative, I think we could admit that, outside of that, there was no reason for the death penalty, and not just simply a death penalty, but death in the most torturous and brutal way. And our Lord, who taught publicly, was seized in the secrecy of night, put on trial, abused, passed around, abused some more, and then he was asked to take up his cross, and then he was crucified. So, I know we'll be hearing this story again when it comes to Holy Week. We'll be reliving this experience. So what would we say about Jesus? I think we would say, first of all, that he was a victim. We would say that someone who is undeserving was unjustly punished in the most brutal of ways. Just because, well, the scriptures say because of envy. Nonetheless, even envy doesn't justify the brutality. But interestingly enough, within the church and within the scriptures, and especially within our understanding theologically, we don't teach Jesus as a mere victim. We always say within our teaching that he voluntarily went to the cross. That although it appears that he is victimized, that as he said to Pontius Pilate, that they could do nothing to him unless he allowed it. That because he is the God-man, that on whatever level he essentially is totally doing, allowing them to do this as a self-offering of himself. And of course, this self-offering, this is part of our salvation, because this is what cleanses us from our sins. This is how we find forgiveness and reconciliation with God. So that is the context of when we talk about the cross, what our Lord did. But our Lord, when he was teaching, he said, take up your cross and follow me. And we might say, well, what is my cross? Well, using the outline from Jesus' actions, we can say that our cross is something that has involuntarily, that we feel victimized by. Something in our lives, whether in our family, whether in our interior makeup, whether it's the world, but something that has been thrust upon me, and I don't like it, and I wouldn't want it. And I feel as though it's destroying me. Certainly, that would be an image of our cross. And the cross always appears, and in our experience, would be something we'd be victimized by. You see, I want to be happy and healthy and well-adjusted. I want to be wealthy too, by the way. And a good American. And my cross is whatever shames me and keeps me from, as we say in the U.S., reaching my potential. Becoming all that I could be if just these people weren't in my way or whatever. The cross doesn't allow me to have 6 weeks of vacation a year. I don't know. Whatever it is, it can be as simple as very petty things, or it can be very profound things that crush us, that seek to kill us, that we feel burdened with, that we feel victimized by. And some of this is even just our sins. Some of us have sins that follow us and that we don't like and we don't want to commit, and yet there we are doing it again. This is also a form of what we would call maybe victimization. But we've been given the task to do something, and this is what it means to take up our cross. We've been tasked by this commandment of Jesus to take up our cross to do a little change, to do a switcheroo, if you will, to flip things a little bit, to take that which involuntarily crucifies us, that thing which victimizes us, and somehow make it an offering, to somehow take it up, to bear it. Of course, we can't bear anything without God's help anyways, but to take that thing and bear it as an offering. To be a little more controversial, possibly, to bear it as though God has sent it to us. As though bearing it is the very thing that we're offered, that we're asked to do, so that we can give our whole lives to Christ. And this is one of the hard teachings within the Christian faith, is that it isn't all about being healthy and well-adjusted, and that central to our Lord's teaching is that you will be persecuted, that you will suffer, and that you will have problems, that, and nonetheless, you're asked not to simply rebel against that and say, why isn't my life different, or why can't it be like this? But actually, somehow under the weight of it all, under the weight of the world, the wars in the world, under the weight of the persecution of Christianity, under the weight of your family, under the weight of your own psychological pressures, that you're supposed to look up, take up your cross, and as though God has given us all that for our very salvation. Now, you'll notice that Jesus' cross is a trophy now. It is a symbol of victory. The victimization of Christ, him voluntarily going to his life-creating death. This is what I'm wearing. This is what Christians are wearing. We're going to parade around the church with the cross occasionally. This is an emblem of victory. Now, we're promised the same thing, actually, that those very things that crush us, if we're able to, with God's grace, to make the effort to pick it up and to offer it to him, to offer our lives to him, can also become emblems of our victory in him. Because when we lose our lives, that's what it says, what Jesus says in the gospel, when we are willing to lose our lives, it's then that we save them. But if we don't want the cross and we don't want these sort of things that our Lord has told us, then we will try to save our lives. And what does it say? If we try to save our lives, we will lose our lives. So as we bring out the beautiful symbol of victory, the precious cross, into the middle of the church on this feast day and celebrate this feast, it behooves us to think and again to reorient ourselves, to take the image of what Jesus did in his life and to apply it to our own lives in the best we can, of course, always asking for God's mercy because, well, fulfilling the gospel is really impossible without the Holy Spirit, right? But to conform ourselves to Christ, to conform ourselves to the cross that we've been given so that we can be transformed and be victorious in the Lord's strength. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Amen.